And welcome to this episode of Real Geeks, where we will be discussing the live-action edition of Disney's Mulan. No, seriously. We really actually are going to be discussing the live-action one this time. We can only be stopped by a pandemic so many times.
Before, we couldn't watch it.
Of course, as always, I'm joined by Vita down at the bottom there, and Crash and Burn just beside me. Look, she's in witness protection. Just go with it.
Shut up. We make business decisions. Business decisions.
You've been using your real name for at least 20 episodes, and you switched now. I get to make jokes.
I know, but she did it first.
I did, totally.
Yeah, but she did it legally.
I'm doing things legally. Unrelated.
Do you know why the Phoenix sits on the right hand of the Emperor? She is his guardian. His protector. That she's both beautiful and strong. Your job is to bring honor to the family. Do you think you can do that?
Citizens, we are under attack from northern invaders.
Their leader calls himself Ori Khan.
Fights alongside a witch.
No survivors.
By edict of his Imperial Majesty, every family must contribute one man to fight.
Have you no son?
I am blessed with two daughters. I will fight.
We must be strong. This time he will not return.
Loyal, brave, and true. It is my duty to protect my family.
Ancestors, please protect her.
What is your name, soldier?
Hua Jun, Commander, son of Hua Zhou.
We're going to make men out of every single one of you.
Close the gate!
The spirit is evident, but something holds you back.
When they find out who you are, they will show you no mercy.
I'm Hua Mulan. I will bring honor to us all.
I know I'm going to piss somebody off, but I'm going to say this anyway. I like this better than the animated one.
And who do you think you're going to piss off with that opinion, Mike?
Yeah, that's supposed to piss off more just what the fuck. How can you be so wrong? How can you choose to be so wrong?
Oh, that's very easy. I'm not.
We discuss movies before we actually sit down to review them, and we had a few comments going in our messaging thread between Mike and I. So he knew where this, but he knew where I stood on a couple of things.
It's okay, Mike. No one's angry. We're just disappointed.
Well. See, for me, the main thing is simply this. A lot of my issues with the animated version basically boil down to the Disney formula for 90s animated films. And the simple fact that, to this point, most live-action Disney films have been just the animated one all over again and don't really do anything different. If you're just gonna do the same movie again, what the fuck fuck is the point?
Most within reason. I mean,
I'm sorry. What was the Oscar award winning film from a few years ago with a song by Lady Gaga and Brendan, what the fuck's his name?
I tell you, but I don't pay attention to bought and paid for award shows.
Okay, because A Star is Born is a multi-award winning musical that has been remade 17 fucking times. It's the same fucking song. It's the same fucking movie. It's the same fucking everything. And yet, it gets Oscars. So no, I don't think that the fundamental problem is remaking movies, even if they are the exact same film.
Oh, but even with A Star is Born, if I remember right, there are some things that are different between each version.
Yeah,
and
they had to have different people because Kris Kristofferson's old and Bradley Cooper's not. That's it.
And I mean, the Disney Cinderella animated and live action are different, and the Beauty and the Beast were different, and Aladdin was different. So, I mean, the only thing is, they all still had a soundtrack. They were all still musicals.
Beauty and the Beast was not that different. See,
say again?
And the Beauty and the Beast was not all that different. Now, the animated Mulan was, like I said, a standard 90s Disney movie. It's basically an attempt at another Aladdin, which, okay, fine. This time around, we have what's basically Crouching Daughter, Hidden Warrior. Which I'm very much okay with, because, again, it's at least doing something else.
Like, it would have been fine if that something, doing something else, was by someone else. But when I go to see Disney's Mulan, I expect to see Disney's Mulan. If I wanted Wuxia Mulan, I would go watch a Chinese production of Mulan. Because
and there actually is another live-action Mulan out there.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's getting pushed around the sites right now. And
actually, good, because I want to watch it.
Because it's probably quite good.
Apparently, no, it's really good.
Good. We should have fucking watched that.
It's like you've never seen the movie. This scene is the first time we see Mulan, who is known as Hua Jun in this part of the movie, fight with Hong Hui. Both of them are conscripts in a training camp. Right before this scene, Mulan has to contend with both being in disguise as a man, but mostly not being able to show the strength she has. In order to maintain her disguise, she has to disguise all of herself. Mm. And so we enter the scene with all the conscripts gathered for a training session. In terms of the movie, we are in the middle of China, the vast country of China. But to shoot the scene, we were in New Zealand.
Mm.
And a beautiful place called the Ahuriri Valley. It was also the location for our epic battle sequence and a number of other smaller scenes in the movie. The first shot involves a very big crane shot. It starts off in a high wide and you see all the conscripts gathered below. Then the crane descends and moves along the track really fast, then has to come to a sudden stop, and the crane telescopes out into the action and finds these two sparring.
Me picking a fight with Mulan.
Yeah, you enjoying it very much. All I remember from that shot was the sound of all the guys hanging off the crane, trying to stop it in time to telescope out between.
I think we rehearsed this scene for like 3 months. Yeah. You did a brilliant job in handling it.
Yeah. You too.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, a sequence like this is a long time in the planning. It gets written first, and then the stunt coordinator comes in and with two stand-ins works out the action, and then he brings it to me, and I work on it as well, editing it, and then we hand over to you guys so that you learn the particular moves. And of course, both of you had stunt doubles in this scene, but you do a lot of your own work as well. A sequence like this is made of so many different shots, and it's shot by two units over a period of, it was either 2 or 3 days.
Yes, yes.
I love this. Mm. Now it's serious. This is a girl that hasn't wanted to put a spotlight on herself in any way, but now she is all emotion and she's pissed.
There were a lot of changes and similarities. Just, there was no songs. I'm still not seeing the problem here.
No, the problem was the songs are the charm of the original. It's not that the original was brilliant original or anything like that. It wasn't this game changer. It was indeed, as you say, in a mold of the 90s, but that specific 90s mold worked. That's why, you know, like the Disney Renaissance is remembered. And no one really ultimately gives a shit about any of those movies beyond the music, because it's the music that actually moved you. No one actually cares.
Literally, they were segues.
Yeah. Yeah. No one cares about, like, Timon and Pumbaa ultimately as characters. Although I am very much still waiting eagerly for my Timon and Pumbaa is Dead side film. That would be wonderful. But, but honestly, it's the music. It's the music that people keep coming back for. And when you don't include the music in something like this, even sly or smugly, there's a couple of points where they say lines from songs. And it's like, okay, I understand what you're doing there, but what you really should have been doing with it is carry it on even further. Make it just barely keep from breaking into song instead of just being a reference. This should be Dick Tease the movie, and instead it's $40, please, or I'll punch you in the face, the movie. Then punch you in the face.
Yep.
Well,
and they brought in like the instrumentals in a couple of spots, but
I was just saying, like, literally half the score is reflection.
Exactly. Half.
And Make a Man Out of You. I think I heard that one too.
It's like I heard da-da-da-da-da-da, and then nothing, just like five chords, and then it moved on right back, presumably, into reflections. You know what I would have really liked to see with these remakes is when the credits hit, I want to hear full-on retro music. I want to hear Stevie Wonder and 98 Degrees start screaming at me, just like it's 1997 all over again.
This is basically the same story, except we add in the fact that Mulan has a very strong chi, which the opening narrative with her father, as much as I like the narrative, at the same time there are points where it does get a bit shaky, because when he talks about her chi, there's a part of the dialogue where people took it as only men are capable of having chi, which obviously
it wasn't so much that only men were capable, it was that it was frowned upon for women to use it or to show that they had it, because of that whole gender suppression thing. Ooh, did I say that out loud?
Well, no, I was just saying, like, that's actually exactly where I was going with it, because that's what I got from the narrative. But it's one of those things where I think the structure was just that little bit shaky that caused a number of people to take it the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but that's not how chi works. So, like, clearly it's someone's interpretation and then interpreted and then reinterpreted and then performed through some fucked up and you end up with, like, this weird feeling that at some point near the end of it, she's going to go Super Saiyan or something.
Also, I think for me, that chi element, I think, helped in the opening act of the film, because where in the animated Disney version, I wasn't a fan of how a lot of what made Mulan an outcast there was basically nothing more than slapstick comedy. Whereas here, she's basically a 15th century X-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's really just no better way to describe it. And
The way that I keep looking at these, and specifically this one, is by looking at the next one that they're going to do, which is Hercules. Now, they better keep the soundtrack.
Damn straight they better keep the soundtrack.
And that soundtrack better be soul and gospel, or else they have completely fucking misunderstood the point of it. But that's a film that has the same thing.
Like, yeah.
Ultimately, the only thing that makes Hercules a social outcast is slapstick comedy. And how would that translate into an actual film? Well, he's fucking Hercules. He literally does have superpowers. And so comparing the two, I feel like that's something you just have to accept about Disney heroes. Aladdin had superpowers. He was able to parkour and ride a magic, whatever, and he... rug, and he had a genie at his beck and call. That counts as a superpower, Pocahontas, who they haven't done yet because they don't want to get into a pile of shit.
that could go very wrong very easily,
right?
Oh yeah,
she could talk to spirits. That
yeah, but that's a native belief.
Yes, but it wasn't a native belief. She literally could do it. Like, she had that superpower of being able to talk to Mother Tree, or Mother Willow, and the raccoon. She had superpowers. You just have to accept it about Disney characters, that they have superpowers. That's why I think Elsa might be one of their best designs, because they just outright are like, yeah, she has fucking superpowers. Deal with it.
Frankie, and I will say this, though. I would also be far more accepting of musical numbers in Hercules than I would be in this movie, because if nothing else, Hercules would at least have a training montage or two. So it's like, there's going to be opportunities where those songs would absolutely work.
This had a training
montage. There was a training montage in Mulan.
Exactly.
Kind of, sort of.
They kept the montage, but not the song. They could have even just put the music over it more overtly, and you would have figured it out. Flushed it out in your own head. But instead, they're trying to not be this silly thing, and they end up being an incredibly silly thing.
I think that also goes to what I said earlier about how I liked the idea and the relationship between Mulan and the witch, but I wish more had been done with it.
Yeah, well,
I wish more had been done with the whole movie.
I got so far into this film thinking that she and the Phoenix were the same character, because it makes sense. The Phoenix got driven out. Her father says that, like, he used to see Phoenix spirit, but Phoenix spirit left when he was young. She got driven out of her people for being extraordinary. She should have been the Phoenix spirit. The redemption should have been Mulan helping her redeem, so that she can redeem Mulan, which would redeem the entire family that the Phoenix abandoned at some fucking point. This stuff is there,
yeah.
And they didn't do it. They actually made an extra character who's completely superfluous, and it means that the Hawk Lady's change comes out of nowhere, when it should have been this grand moment of, like, you're right, I let down my destiny, but I'm going to help you so that I'm fixed, you're fixed, the family's fixed, and China's fixed.
Oh, and yeah, like I would have liked to have seen more between those two characters for pretty much that exact reason.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I can see where you're going. I like where you're going. You got there too quick.
Yeah, for no fucking reason. And you didn't put any effort necessary into it. And yet you're longer than the original cartoon.
Welcome back to Fast Money. There is drama at Disney over its latest release of Mulan. Let's get back to Julia Borson, who's on that story also. Julia.
Well, Melissa, Disney opens its big budget film Mulan in China on Friday after multiple delays and also amid calls on Twitter to boycott the film. Disney drawing criticism for in Mulan's closing credits, thanking Chinese government agencies for assistance in shooting the film, including two agencies accused of human rights violations in Xinjiang. That was one of many locations in which Disney shot in China, though much of the film was shot in New Zealand. Now, the State Department has estimated that over the past 5 years, as many as 2 million minority people in that region of China have been imprisoned in internment camps. The Chinese government has said the camps are part of an effort to improve the region's security. Now, this comes as Disney is hoping China will be a meaningful contributor to Mulan's box office. The film is based on a Chinese legend and stars a Chinese actress. She sparked controversy earlier this year after she tweeted support for China's Hong Kong crackdown. Now, the movie cost an estimated $200 million to make and much more to market, and there's a lot riding on the Chinese movie-going market, which pre-COVID was projected to surpass that of the U.S. box office this year. We've reached out to Disney. No comment on this issue.
But that said, ratings and final thoughts, because I'm pretty sure at this point someone's desperate to wrap up.
Is it all of us?
Well, probably two-thirds.
Yay.
I'm sure my cat would be happy for us to wrap up.
For myself, I'm going to give this actually this same rating that I gave the animated one. But bear with me for a minute because it's kind of a two-part rating. Because there is one other thing associated with this film that like we got to hit at some point. I'm giving this the same 4 out of 5 that I gave the animated version. Like, there's the animated one had all this other stuff that I liked, but it had this stuff where I was going, hold on a second. The live action one has this different stuff that I liked, but it also has stuff where I'm going, wait, hold on. That said, there's the burning question of, is this worth $30 to $35 to watch it on Disney Plus? No. If you're getting together with a bunch of friends to watch it and everybody chips in like $5.
Yeah, like if you get like five other people so that there's 6 of you and you're all chipping in 5, sure. But I wouldn't pay anything more. Like, I would have even been hard pressed to say, yeah, pay full price for a theater ticket for like $13 or whatever. I that's how bad this movie was for me.
Yeah, like again, I would have rather have seen this in, I would rather this had gone to theater.
Yeah. This film is so bad. It makes me worry about Black Widow because they should have released Black Widow for $40 on streaming. But instead, they chose this.
And I think there's also the simple fact that we have a good lead actress here, who probably should not be allowed to talk to the press, because as much as I can do the whole separate the art from the artist thing. Because the fact that she expressed support for the Chinese police during the Hong Kong protests was, on the one hand, has nothing to do directly with the movie. On the other hand, you just know that there were Disney executives going, come here. Whap!
God damn, what the fuck did you say? I mean, I know that Disney works very, very closely, and in the credits of this film, I believe that they thank a couple of groups in China that are not Western positive. Let's just say that. So I don't think that they would have been like, WAP. They would have been like, hey, maybe don't say that in front of Western press. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even remember if it was Western press that she did make those comments to.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But like, either way.
Months ago. It was fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, like, either way, it was, needless to say, still a huge mistake.
Yeah. No, it's pretty bleh. And I get the feeling that Disney's just happy that this movie is gone. Done. Moved on.
I would not be surprised if you're right, but why do you just keep going and go into your rating?
Sure. I give it negative 98 degrees. It was not true to its heart, and there's no wonder, Stevie or otherwise.
I love that your biggest complaint seems to be that the movie soundtrack doesn't have a band that no longer exists.
I am terrified that they're going to strip all of the beautiful music out of Hercules, and I see this as being a threat. I see this as a threat. Bring back 98 degrees. Are you telling me that Disney could not pay enough money to 98 degrees to have them come back to warble out a terrible cover of this that they could then give it to like the fucking Jonas Brothers to do a better cover? Come on.
I think they'd be smart enough to just go straight to the Jonas Brothers.
No, that's not good enough. You have to have the failed retrospective so that you appreciate what you have now. You have to know how shit it was. Every time.
And I mean, also, I basically said earlier, Hercules is going to be the Greek mythology version of Rocky. If you want musical, that's where it's going to be.
And I'm happy with that, so long as the music is still gospel.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And sung by black ladies.
Totally.
These are the things I need from Disney's Hercules. Everything else can be changed entirely. You can call him fucking Heracles for all I give a shit. I just need Zero to Hero to be
potato potato.
No, Greek versus Latin, not potato potato.
Megara's song has to be included in there too.
Yes, absolutely. No, I mean, I want the whole goddamn thing. No matter how cheesy it is, I want the intro with the four different chapters. I want the terrible end song that is just beautifully. I want Michael Bolton to be standing on top of a statue of Michael Bolton singing the song track by younger Michael Bolton.
Oh, and yeah. Vita, how about you? Do you even remember what you're going
to
give it?
I am trying very hard not to give it a two. Comparing it to the animated Mulan, hells yeah, it's staying at a two. But in looking at it as its own entity, as its own movie on its own merits, I give it a 2.5, and that's only because of the costumes and the cinematography.
No, that works.
Yeah.
I did like her soldier outfit. That was very nice.
Yeah, her basically stripping off her armor on the battlefield confused me a bit, but
yeah, no, that was just a bad sequence. That's a bad sequence. The whole having the one catapult, that was stupid. That made no sense. I miss the cannon that she had to Avalanche the first time. I don't know. It made more sense to me. It was more Chinese than like. I bet I can convince these idiots to just, you know, turn a catapult to fire at this one outcropping of people. Why would you do that?
Because she had all the helmets up there to make it look like there was a whole entity of soldiers up there.
But they knocked the helmets down. They should have assumed that they killed everyone and not fire a catapult at it.
Suspension of disbelief.
No, stupid.
It's one of those. The catapult was probably more historically accurate, but on the other hand,
it wasn't.
I'm shut up. On the other hand, God damn it!
How many hands are we on now?
I don't know.
Okay, is that why half of the Arab?
One of the things that I loved about the animated Mulan is the basic message I got from that was women get shit done with artillery. And I won. Which is probably the thing that I most enjoyed about that version. And I was disappointed that at no point do they give her a rocket launcher.
Yeah. I mean, come come the fuck on. They took away her rocket launcher. Zero stars. Nothing. No respect. Dishonor to monsters.
Now to finally maybe kind of sort of wrap up. Our next episode will be, no, seriously, we're going to actually be releasing our review of 2018's Upgrade, because I'm pretty sure there's nothing big and new until November, which is pretty much going to be a month from hell.
What's in November?
I think Wonder Woman 84, Black Widow, No Time to Die, Free Guy, I think is in there somewhere.
Was that one November or December?
I got them written down. I think it was moved from July to November, but I'm not 100% sure.
I did take notes during the trailers in the movie, so I have a list.
Cool. Until then, of course, you can go to addytheadipose.redbubble.com where you can buy non-generic Doctor Who related merchandise that would actually support this show. Hopefully I can get new stuff in there soon. For some reason, they won't let me at the moment. Crash, what do you got going on?
Check me out at patreon.com/hereyougo. I am rebooting almost everything I'm doing with new designs, and the podcasts are all going to be on screen now, and then, content.
All right, and of course, Vita?
My website is outofthebroomcloset.ca. There is a link there to my Square site where I actually have retail masks listed for large and medium sizes. I also take custom order ones. And
it's basically a running gag at this point.
So the smile mask is eventually, I'll have a few of these retail done as well, but they are also available for custom order.
Well, see, now after this, I want to get like one with like a pretend window in it, but it has like the Joker smile underneath the window.
I might be able to paint that.
Only slightly.
I'll have some time on my hands. We'll see.
It's literally pretty much one of my goals to just come up with, like, the weirdest mask designs I possibly can. until our next episode, let's pray this renders.